There are experiences in life that God sends our way that have life-changing power. That's part of the adventure of following Jesus Christ.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Welcome to the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that takes you around the world in search of the new thing God is doing. Sometimes the word comes alive only when we travel far from the comfortable. That's certainly true for Norm Nelson. A whole new vision for ministry began with one life-changing trip to the heart of China. He'll tell you about it today on Compassion Radio. He's joined in studio by his wife, Cher.
Well, God used a trip to China to teach my wife, Cher, and me some important lessons. We want to share our conversation with you. Cher, the reason that you're here today is to talk about an experience that you and I had in China. And I'm wondering, how did that experience affect your own relationship to Jesus Christ? In other words, did it change or did it challenge your spiritual priorities?
Well, I don't think any experience like that cannot change and challenge you. Having been in Eastern Bloc countries and other places where people have been persecuted before, I was anticipating much of the same experience, but it really was a very different thing in China. I think always in the Eastern Bloc countries, there was a feeling that someday the persecution might end. They were praying for us in the United States that we would not have to go through the persecution, that we would get serious about the Lord and have a clear understanding of a relationship with Him so that the Lord wouldn't have to bring us into persecution. But that's not the focus in China. They are so new at understanding what everything is all about that they are taking the Bible at its word. They believe when it says that in this world you will know trouble and persecution, that you will suffer. They believe it when it says that it's an honor to suffer with Christ in this world. And so they have no concept of even wanting to be delivered from that because it is such an honor for them to suffer. That was probably the first thing that really got to me, was the fact that not that we suffer for a cause or so that something will happen or to gain some end result, but that we suffer simply because we are honored to be a part of Christ in that way.
These Christians have really gone through it, haven't they? In fact, we had the opportunity to meet some pretty extraordinary people, and I'm thinking about a ride that we had on a bus with three gentlemen, actually one older man and two younger fellows, who just absolutely won our hearts. Maybe you'd like to tell the listeners a little bit about those three men.
Well, when you say older, I think he was probably 35 and the other two were in their 20s. But the American contacts assign names that we understand to the Chinese, first of all, so that we can pronounce them, but secondly, also to protect their identity. So we were traveling with Joshua and Caleb, and there could not be two more appropriate names chosen for what these men do. Caleb is a missionary evangelist to the university community. And Joshua drives a little, not even a motorcycle, some kind of a motorized vehicle with a large plywood platform built on the back of it on which are stacked hundreds and hundreds of Bibles. And he travels all over the country with this tarp wrapped around these Bibles on this huge plywood platform in order to get to remote parts of the country to deliver a Bible to a village so that people can have some part of God's Word to study and understand. The ratio right now is one Bible to every 2,000 Chinese Christians. Now, that's just astounding.
This fellow that you were talking about, Cher, Joshua, he is the spiritual leader of 4 million Chinese Christians represented in provinces all over the country. And yet he was as humble a person as I have ever met in my life. This is no ecclesiastical bureaucrat. This is a humble man who, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, has been used of God to expand the kingdom of God in a way that is almost unimaginable here in the United States.
Yes, everywhere he goes, he evangelizes as he delivers the Bibles, but it's not like he's invited in for an evangelistic crusade. He drives on his little motorcycle using rice wine when he gets into areas where he can't get petrol for the thing anymore.
Yeah.
They'll burn anything that will burn in order to get to remote places, and he goes in, delivers Bibles, and is the evangelist. Now, the interesting thing that Caleb told us is that it's not the evangelists and it's not the pastors that are winning the people to the Lord. It's the individual Christians who are bringing their friends, their relatives to the Lord one by one, and then they take them to the pastor to be taught and to the evangelist to catch the vision of what they should be doing in order to evangelize others.
Isn't that what the New Testament church is all about?
I do think it mentions
that,
yes.
Where have we heard this before? Cher, this young man named Caleb really won our hearts. Mm. And of course, it was easier for him to do that because he did speak very good English.
Right.
Describe Caleb, because he was really special.
Well, I think the thing that is so outstanding with the Chinese Christians is, and I don't know how to describe it any other way than the sparkle in their eye. There is such a life, there is such a vitality. And we were incredibly blessed in that we were sitting in the bus seat right directly in front of these two when they got on our moving bus. He was so eager to speak directly with someone that he couldn't stand to sit there and wait for his turn to be asked a question and be interpreted to everyone. So we had the incredible privilege, much to everyone else's dismay, of getting a little more information than others because he just wanted to tell us what his vision was for the young people. He has a Bible study on the campus, and he calls it just a study group. And he said for quite a while, people believed that it was probably a computer study group. They pretty soon lost their cover because they were singing their praise choruses so loudly that no one believed that they were a computer group anymore. But he just has this burning desire to reach university students before materialism does. That's the problem in the university community. Since Tiananmen Square and their total loss of belief that anything is going to change politically, they are so open for anything to believe in, and the ones that are being met by the material world are believing that, and the ones that are meeting Jesus Christ are believing that, and he has such a burden to reach them first with the gospel.
I really doubt that most American Christians, remembering that incredible scene in Tiananmen Square with that young student standing there in front of that tank, that's one of the most memorable and I think now famous photographs maybe in our history. I don't think that American Christians have any real sense of how significant that event was. Tell us about that. Wasn't it kind of the final blow as far as any credibility at all for Marxism among young people?
Evidently. The thing that made it clearest to me was the description of how people meet the Lord. Their description of meeting the Lord is not coming from darkness into light, but from learning that there is a God who created us, who
I'm just going to say, honey, that it's important for our listeners to know and to remember that these kids have been educated in atheism. That is the orthodoxy of the People's Republic of China. There is no God. So all they know.
The majority of people that are alive now, that's all they have ever been taught. So there's no reason for living. There's no reason. There's no purpose for being. So even finding out that there is this creator who put us here, that's wonderful news for them. They are thrilled to hear this. And then finding out that there's another step that they can take to meet this person and find out that it's a God with whom they can have a personal relationship, that's coming from the darkness to the light. But coming from nothingness to darkness is a wonderful step for them. But the light exposes the darkness. Without hearing about the light, they have no idea even that they're in darkness. Well, the young people were living in this nothingness, wanting some meaning in their life and thinking that if they just changed the government, there would be some meaning, some hope, some value to life. And when they lost that opportunity, then they lost hope that that was ever going to happen. They were left with nothing.
Tiananmen Square was the death blow to whatever optimism and idealism remained among Chinese students and young people. And I think that the exciting thing, and our listeners have to understand this, the exciting thing is that young people are flocking to Jesus Christ because there is nothing left to live for except materialism. And the Chinese Christians are so concerned that materialism will come in as China develops economically and begin to turn their heads and capture their loyalties, and that they will start to live for materialism instead of turning to Jesus Christ. And we have a very brief opportunity to really reach out in this situation where there's this incredible hunger among Chinese young people and people of all ages to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get Bibles into their hands.
That's right. Caleb explained this with the fact that the university students still have to go to the communism classes, but they call them nonsense classes.
I love it.
They still have to go, but they're coming by the hundreds to Bible classes, not because they believe yet, but to find out if there is something to believe. And then they're so excited. And the other thing that we discovered was how important it is for them to have the whole Bible, not just New Testaments. Now, in the past, missionaries had gotten New Testaments in, but it made no sense to them because they didn't understand the God who did all of these things in the New Testament. They need to start from the very beginning to understand. And in the beginning, there was God, and follow God's purposes through the ages before they can believe in Christ and his gift to us.
Now, I want to shift from this to a very specific scene. We had the opportunity to carry Bibles.
The invitation that we received was not just to go to China on a fact-finding mission, but the untalked about part of it was to also act as a courier to carry Bibles across the border into China. Now, it is not per se illegal to have a Bible in China, but they're controlling the amount that are available to such a minimal amount and charging so much for it that for someone from the country to have to come to the city and buy a Bible, that's more wages than they make in a year.
Virtually impossible.
They're making it totally impossible. Sure. So we couriered Bibles by very, very heavy suitcases, about 100 to 150 Bibles in each suitcase. We each had six. We were allowed to take only one piece of carry-on luggage of our own into China, and the rest we were lugging these unbelievably heavy suitcases. We picked them up off the belt in China. And we had been given instructions on how to go through security. And unfortunately, with the group that we were with, we had been identified either in Hong Kong or somewhere along the way, but they were waiting for us.
What happened? We got pulled over, didn't we?
They were standing by the gate into the security area saying, "Are you American?" "Yes." "You go no further." They wouldn't let us in. Well, then when they came to inspect our bags, they asked what they were. We said that they were gifts, which they were. They wanted to know what kind of gifts. We said that they were books. And then they asked us the straight-out question, are they Bibles?
It was one of the hardest questions of their lives. And you'll hear Norman Scher's answer in a moment. But first, here's how you can help the church in China this month.
Well, my friend, I'm concerned that in China, where the church is growing so fast today, and where that country is becoming a tremendous economic powerhouse in the world, its young people are banned by law from receiving any kind of religious instruction. You see, even though Christianity is growing faster in China today than it has at any time and place in the 2,000-year history of the Christian faith, the Communist government of China has legally prohibited the Christian education of children under 18 years of age. Now, practically speaking, what this means is that Chinese children are denied access to the Word of God in churches, in schools, and yes, even in their homes, even in the most Christian homes, where parents understandably would want to protect their children from harm. The logic of the government is simple. If Chinese children are excluded from exposure to the Bible, the Christian faith will gradually disappear from China as the older generation dies off and its Christians take their biblical knowledge and values with them to the grave. That's what they want to happen. Well, let me tell you that Compassion Radio's response to this challenge is to take on that challenge, and we're doing so by means of our Bibles for China project. We are once again launching our campaign to provide thousands of attractive copies of God's Word in the Chinese language. Now, one of the most remarkable developments of the growth of Christianity in China today is that Chinese Christian young people who have become followers of Jesus are becoming missionaries. They are spreading the good news of Jesus both within and beyond the borders of China. Although a few whole Bibles are printed in China, no Bibles are available there unless we believers here in America supply them. Now, it's easy for you to participate in this great Bibles for China campaign during this month. Oh, my friend, don't miss out on this tremendous opportunity. You know, there's no better investment in all the world than giving God's Word to believers in China. For each copy of the Bible given, it's estimated that 5 converts come to faith in Jesus Christ. So, I hope that you'll be a part of this incredibly wonderful effort. All right, for further information, here's Bram Floria.
You know what's amazing is that a gift, even as small as $6, can provide one of these brand new quality Bibles to a believer in China who is ready and eager to learn about the gospel and to share it with others. A gift of $30 provides 5 new Bibles. $120? Well, that's 20 Bibles, and so on. So, give your best gift today and make a huge difference in the booming house churches of China. And as we enter the season of giving, for Bibles for China gifts received before the 15th of this month, we have a very special surprise gift we'd love to send you just for being part of this project. Give us a call today. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. We're on the web at CompassionRadio.com, and our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And now, back to Norm and Cher.
Then they ask us the straight-out question, are they Bibles?
We were
left with the dilemma of, do we try to say that they aren't in order for the higher purpose of getting the Bibles in, or do we tell the truth? Well, we told the truth and said, yes, they were. Well, there were many, many people around. There were airport security, there were military, there were plainclothes people, and we had no idea why all of this hullabaloo was going on.
And an x-ray machine that we were told to avoid at all costs.
Right, which they didn't need because they simply opened the bags and looked at them. But we got into a discussion with two of the young people about why we couldn't take the Bibles.
These were customs agents, by the way.
We told them that they were gifts, that we were not going to sell them, that we knew that it was fine to have a Bible in China, but that there weren't enough to go around, and we were just trying to help more people be able to understand the message that, you know, that God loves us, that He has a plan for us, that He gave His Son for us, and it was such wonderful news to us in the United States, and it made such a difference in our lives that we just wanted to share this with the Chinese people. Well, it kept coming back to, well, it's just a regulation. It's just a regulation. You can't take the books in. You look like you want to jump in. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to me, it is an amazing thing that the government of the largest nation on earth is scared to death of these little books that we were carrying in, the Word of God, the Bible.
Which they claim is all a fairy tale.
Exactly. But these young people, these young customs agents who could speak English, they'd started out being almost hostile. But after some conversation, they seemed to be a little bit regretful that they had to say no.
We began to realize that they were frightened when they stopped us, that they were under pressure from above. It was a particular governmental time where restrictions were being enforced very heavily. There were military there watching them, and they were frightened with the position that they were put in. By the end of it, they took away the bags that they had opened. But they gave us a chance at the end to say that the other bags, which were matching bags, were not Bibles. And after we had stood there for probably 20 to 30 minutes witnessing to these kids, we just felt, we can't do this. We can't say one thing on one side and something else on the other. And so the question that we were asked was, you know, sort of, these aren't Bibles, are they? There aren't any Bibles in these bags, are there? And we had to say, yes, there are. And he looked so disappointed, like, oh, if you had just answered it another way. But we said, but that's all right, because God will reach the people that he wants to reach. And we know that these Bibles will do good wherever they end up. Well, what we found out after we got into the country was that none of the Bibles are ever lost. They are held at customs, and you're supposed to pick them up on your way out of the country and take them out. But it's possible for people within the country who know that they're there to come and pick them up and be able to distribute them. The final thing that happens is that if neither one of those things happens, the government can take them, and they will then sell them to make more money, but the Bibles do get into the hands of someone. Now, they're sold through the churches, and we were able to be at one of the government churches where there was a line so long at the bookstore, and the pastor laughingly said, some of these people lose their Bibles every week, so they have to come back to the bookstore and buy another one. Well, of course, what they're doing is coming to the government church, the people that have the money, buying another Bible, and then giving it away to people who don't have access to it. So it was just fascinating to see the line out through the courtyard, down the street, waiting to buy anything that was available that they could pass on to other people.
And the Bibles are in wonderful condition, very well printed.
They're beautiful Bibles.
And listen, I want to emphasize this again. There is no way I could possibly overemphasize how much these Bibles are treasured and needed, and how voraciously people read the Bibles when they finally have access to one. We know of one young woman who came from clear across the country of China. She was a Christian, is a Christian, and she worked on the street of Beijing for 2 years, making and selling pancakes. and taking all of the proceeds from those pancakes that she sold on the street to try to purchase 100 Bibles that she could give away. Mm-hmm. That is the level of commitment that Christians have in China. And we feel so strongly that we have to get involved, that we have to do what we can to see that God's word reaches these people with this intense spiritual hunger in China, because it is perhaps just a brief period of time that we have mm-hmm. where we can reach and perhaps even change an entire nation through the availability of God's word. Give us a closing word, honey.
After standing in Tiananmen Square and knowing that there are many people in this world that believe God's hand of blessing is resting on the United States as long as we are willing to share the wealth that He's given us, and that when we get selfish and start to pull back from that, He could well lift His hand from us, I believe that this is our opportunity to share the incredible blessing that we have with people who are starving for the food that we can provide for them, the spiritual food in Bibles, which they need so desperately. We can't even understand the love that they have for the Lord, the commitment they have to serving Him, but we can understand their need for the Scriptures, and we have the ability to send it. If our people believe in what we've been doing all these years of trying to help them think biblically, this is the time to bring all of that together and give what we can to help these people grow.
We have the resources, and now God has given us the opportunity. Let's not miss this opportunity.
Well, Norm, we're going to be working a project that I know is very near to your heart. It is mine as well, talking about Bibles for China.
Bibles for China. You know, we always get excited about sending God's word to China.
Oh, yeah.
The particularly exciting thing about this project is that in China, where they have, by the way, a problem of Muslim terrorism, we don't hear about it much here in the U.S., but the whole far west of China is made up of Muslim people. Their answer to that problem, their solution, is to win Muslims to Christ. And it's the young people that are going to do this. there is a plan in China to send 100,000 missionaries all across the Silk Road from Western China all the way back to Jerusalem. They call it the Back to Jerusalem movement. And we've had the opportunity to do this for a number of years, and it's been very successful. Jim, I know that you've seen these Bibles.
These Chinese Bibles are beautiful. They're really an irresistible resource. If you receive our Compassion Radio newsletter, you've seen some of the pictures on here, and These are just wonderful.
You know, you and I have traveled in China a great deal.
That's right,
Jim. We've seen the children. Do you know that there are more children in China under the age of 18 than there are people in the United States?
How amazing is that?
This is an enormous resource. Now, just consider, if a large percentage of them could be won to faith in Christ, have access to God's Word, get excited about it, just as the older generation is, what that could do in terms of the transformation of the nation of China, but also the carrying out of this missionary mandate and winning Muslims all across the Silk Road, all across Central Asia, to faith in Christ. I'm betting on the Chinese.
For Bibles for China gifts received before the 15th of this month, we have a very special surprise gift we'd love to send you just for being part of this project. To be part of our God's Word for China campaign, just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Bram Floria. We'll be back with more exciting news from the front lines tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today on Compassion Radio.